Everyone here at the Disney Resorts Kingdom would like to thank Mouska Trips for sponsoring programming here at the Disney Resorts Kingdom. Mouska Trips is dedicated to giving you a Disney experience before you even arrive at the parks. They try to get you the best price they can, and they want you to have the best Disney vacation possible. So please visit our sponsors, Mouska Trips, at www.mousketrips.com. That's www.mousketrips.com. Please visit www.disneyresortskingdom.com and click on one of the many links to relive the magic, and please purchase an item and help fund the Disney Resorts Kingdom.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Disney Resorts podcast. Here are your hosts, Luke Manning and Nick McLam. Guys, take it away.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Disney Resorts podcast. I am your host, Luke Manning, and joined with me today, as always, is our temporary, sort of, maybe, I don't know, host, Nick McLam.
Hello.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we set off on a quest a little while ago to bring in a special guest star for every Friday show. Well, we sort of got off track a little bit, but we're getting back onto it, although it isn't the Friday show, but it's close enough. So with us today, we have Tom Corliss from the WDW News Today podcast.
Hi, great to be on the show yet again.
Yes. You're one of two people. One of two people have been on the show twice.
Wow, that's in a distinguished club.
Yes, along with Steve Swanson.
Oh, a good friend who usually co-hosts my show.
Well, today we're continuing on in the 5 days of Halloween. Ooh, creepy, right? It's really creepy. You know, but really, the only thing that might actually be creepy is how badly we're doing this. Anyway, last time we talked about the Haunted Mansion holiday, which is one of my two most favourite Halloween-themed things at Disney and in the world. Haunted Mansion holiday is just amazing, but we spoke all about that last time. This time, we're here to talk about one of the only rides I've never been on at any Disney park, and that would be the Tower of Terror. And that's why I've got Tom here, so he can talk about it. And, of course, Nick is here, because he has to be.
It's terrifying that you've never been on it.
Well, I don't like drop towers. Let's just say that. So, sorry, Nick?
Me neither, but I've gone on it.
Yeah, but I'm contemplating on doing it or not here. See, I heard it's not quite as thrilling, so I might do it. But do you two, like, want to try guide me through it and just, you know...
Well, I could guide
you through the... Tell me all about the ride, the pre-show, the everything.
I can guide you through the Walt Disney World version. I did visit Disneyland a few years ago, but I didn't go on their Tower of Terror.
Disney World is better, from what I've heard.
Yeah, from what I've heard. But, of course, I haven't been on either of them, so I can't tell. But if you two just want to, like, take a little guide through the queue, the pre-show, the ride, whatever you want to talk about Tower of Terror, talk about it right now.
Want me to start?
All right.
Whoever wants to.
You can take the queue and I can take the ride part.
All right, that sounds good. Because I like the queue a little bit better, I think.
Okay.
Even though the ride is excellent, but there's just something about the whole queue and the pre-show that really, I think, make the attraction.
It makes it. The Tower Terror.
let me give a little bit of backstory first of all. The Tower Terror opened at the Disney MGM Studios, or soon going to be called Disney's Hollywood Studios in 1994.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah. It opened in 1994, a few years after the park opened in 1989. And it was really the first attraction on, well, really the second attraction, but it was one of the first attractions on Sunset Boulevard. And basically
well,
what happened...
I think... But didn't it... actually create Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah, kind of, but the Beauty and the Beast show was there before. They did create the street just for that, but Beauty and the Beast was there before. So.
But it was in a different location. I mean, wasn't the show originally where the entrance to the beginning of the street of Sunset Boulevard is?
Well, I think because there wasn't a street there. I think the stage has always been in that location. It's just there was nothing else there. Just a longer walkway, I believe. I may be wrong, but from what I remember.
I'll take your word for it.
I was very young at the time, but... All right, so you walk up. It's all the way at the end of Sunset Boulevard. It really makes a great backdrop for the entire street because it's all the way down at the end, and it's pretty much the only thing you see. So you basically walk all the way down to the end of Sunset Boulevard where you're greeted by these big, I'd say, brick or stone gates where they house the fast pass area and just general waiting area. So you basically walk up to the front gates of the hotel. You walk through
a garden?
Somewhat of a garden, but not really a lot of flowers. There's a lot of trees. And, if the weather is permitting, they usually spray like a fog or mist kind of thing throughout.
Like a mini forest or something.
Yeah, sort of like that.
It has that creepy effect.
Yeah. And then basically you walk into the main lobby of the Hollywood Tower Hotel, as it is called. And in the lobby, there's a lot of little details. I'm sure I could spend hours on that, but then I'd have to go on Lou Mangiello's show.
So. Yes.
But I'm sure it's been covered everywhere else, but there's a lot of great details in that waiting area. You feel like you're in a hotel lobby in 1939 Hollywood. And it's really nice. Everything.
A lot of stuff, too, that actually is from the show.
Yeah, a lot of things from Twilight Zone show. Yeah, a lot of inside references. But again, you could talk. It's one of the most detailed cues anywhere of any Disney attraction or any attraction in the world. So you could spend hours and hours talking about just these little details. And there's so many little things. Like there used to be something, this little, I guess you could call it a tip board inside. There used to say, "Evil Tower, you are doomed." It looked like the letters fell off the board and made that. And I think they removed that since then. But there's so many little things like that. Other than that, it's sort of like it's Haunted Mansion-esque, if I might say, with the cobwebs everywhere and everything looks dated. They're playing like an old music track, old background music, like 1939.
Well, it's supposed to be creepy, yeah. So.
Yeah, so you get that feeling. And then, of course, you're broken into one of two separate waiting areas. They're identical. They're just on different sides. And you enter what is, it looks like a library, or I guess you'd say a library, with a small TV. So you enter this room, they close the doors behind you, and they start to play what is perhaps the greatest pre-show in all of Disney parks.
Except for the Soarin' pre-show.
Well, I don't know, they're both quoted as...
It is that good.
But my favorite pre-show would have to be the little bit at the end of Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, a little bit, where it just goes, "Do not put your safety goggles on until you are safely seated, safely inside the theater, safely."
If they didn't ruin the original Journey into Imagination, I might still find that funny.
and because you've never been on Tower of Terror, you cannot say this pre-show is that good.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course, you have classic dialogue from the show involved in the music and so many things. And it's really... It's one of the best pre-shows.
It is the dialogue from the show, because I heard that it was Rod Sterling,
yes.
So his actual voice tracks, and they just mixed and matched everything together.
And they did an excellent job, because it sounds perfect.
Yeah, I've heard the audio of it, it's just amazing.
I would do my Rod Sterling impression, but it's not good. Sorry.
One night long ago, hon.
Absolutely horrible, but... Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm a Brit, so... I'm a Brit, he's an American.
Hollywood, circa 1939.
That's a bit better, yeah.
It's a little better, it's not good though. But alright, I've embarrassed myself on yet another show. Alright, so you have the best pre-show. It's really similar to the Haunted Mansion in that you're in this creepy room with a, I guess you could say, a cast member in sort of...
Creepy cast member.
The attraction. They're in that, what's the word I'm looking for? The bellhop outfit for the Hollywood Tower Hotel. And they really try and creep you out, much like a good cast member in the Haunted Mansion would do.
Okay, so, one of the cast members there followed me and my friend around that room. They stare at you. They stare at you, give you that creepy eye, and they make you just have, like, a chill down your spine. And then when you leave the pre-show room, right, don't they, like, follow you out?
Yeah.
They
sometimes.
It's the same,
yeah,
with, it's the same with the Haunted Mansion. I heard a story just today about that on the WDW radio show, and yes, it's the same with that. But now that I think of it, that probably is the best pre-show in Disney World, and that would be Haunted Mansions, because the stretching room in itself is the pre-show.
Yeah, but I don't know. I consider that more a part of the attraction. I know it is a pre-show, but
yeah,
just for the sake that I already said that Tower of Terror has the best pre-show, we're going to stick with that.
Yeah.
But so basically you go through the whole dialogue and everything, and then of course the door opens and you're led into this boiler room where you could be broken into one of a few different lines. You start out with one and then you're branched off, and then of course you are loaded into the service maintenance elevators.
And you see the engine of the elevator.
Oh yeah, the sparking engine in the boiler room. It's a very cool effect. Again, there's a lot of little details in the boiler room, but you could spend hours and hours talking about that, and this show doesn't have enough viewers to do that.
Excuse me? I'm just kidding.
That's just a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're not
that makes Nick mad. Not me, just Nick.
All right, so I think that's when you board the ride. So, Nick, if you want to take the ride portion.
Okay, well, when you get on the ride, you ascend up and you hear Rod Serling basically tell the story all over again. If you didn't pay attention
one
to the
one stormy night long ago.
But basically. And then you, like, stop and you look, the door opens and it shows you a hallway. And you see people that got electrocuted, whatever. And you see them, and you see the people disappear again, and you see, like, electrocution lines all in the room. And, like, the window, like, lightning, and it gets dark, and you see basically a window coming towards you, and it breaks, which is really cool. Like, you need to see it, and you just need to film your first time on that ride.
No, I don't know. Do they still have that portion in Disneyland? From what I've heard, you don't, the elevator doesn't move forward, like.
No,
yeah. What I heard, it doesn't have that anymore, and, that just makes everyone want to go. Sorry, I just brought them up and felt like it.
It honestly makes that ride. And when you go forward, you basically go into Twilight Zone. I mean, when you're going forward, you see like all these stars coming toward the door, and you see the doors open. There's a hidden Mickey as the last star as the door opens, and you go in. You hear Rod Serling say, "You're about to feel what it's like to be in a haunted hotel on Halloween night." And I don't know what it did to you, but it shot me up. And it dropped me, and then it shot me up. And I know it dropped me like 10 times.
Well, they're all random sequences, so everyone, pretty much everyone had an experience.
And then, like your last drop, you, like, go to the bottom floor, you see the people again, and your elevator car shakes, and he shoots up 13 stories, and then drops you 13 stories again, and it's over.
Disneyland's version, I'm pretty sure it doesn't have the whole fifth dimension thing, so instead of seeing, like, those five guys in the fifth dimension, you see like a weird reflection of yourself and then you drop.
Yes, it's like a mirror effect. They're going to do the same thing with the Paris version. It's going to be I think it's going to be identical to the California. Mm.
And the Tokyo version is of the same design as California's, but it's much more intriguing and probably on the level of Florida's. I've heard it's really good.
Their story is... I love the story they made up for that one. They have a completely story.
The Tower one?
Yeah, excellent.
They had, like, mad scientists and stuff.
He was just like a rich, really rich guy, and he owned the hotel, and he used to travel the world, and he brought back this one cursed artifact, and since then it haunted the hotel, something like that. It's a really cool... And they got some really high-tech effects going on there.
Mm. And did you guys actually know what the original concept for the Tower of Terror was?
It was still something with an elevator, I believe.
Yeah.
It just wasn't Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it was Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein. Or should I say, Young Frankenstein.
Wow.
Great movie, that.
Just imagine what it would have been like if that would have actually happened.
Mm-hmm. It'd probably be closed already.
Yeah.
Or it would have been themed to Stitch.
Yeah. It would have gone the way of the alien encounter.
Yep.
So do you guys have anything else to say about the Tower of Terror?
Well, I think we left out a big part, and that's the whole exit of the attraction.
Take it away.
And you exit in. I'm going to talk about it real quick. You exit into this It looks like another part of the hotel. It's basically the store, and it's really well-themed. Even the store, again, keeping with the rest of the attraction, really well-themed and a lot of detail.
Mm.
So it just continues throughout the entire attraction. There are details everywhere. It's unbelievable.
And it's like you're stepping out of, like, a normal hotel elevator and into the lobby in the gift store.
Yep.
So it's a very clever theme. And I have been around there twice in DCA, been to that little off-road area twice. Actually, my friend, Jason, who's been on the show a few times, was going to work there, but he actually got moved to Tomorrowland Attractions. But I'm still contemplating on riding that, but of course I'm also contemplating on riding California Scream and the Mally Boomer, so...
Oh my goodness, no, you have... Oh my god, I've never been to Disneyland, and I still think that's a sin.
Next thing you're going to say, you haven't rode Space Mountain?
I have rode Space Mountain, and Disneyland Space Mountain is the best, one of the best rides I've ever been on.
How about Rock
and
Roller?
Surprising you, I have actually been on Rock and Roller Coaster. In Florida and Paris.
Paris doesn't.
I preferred Paris's version, actually.
It doesn't matter. It's in a park that doesn't.
Yeah, that Walt Disney Studios Paris, which there is, like Tom said, the new Tower of Terror being opened up there. It's probably the worst Disney theme park they've ever made.
And it's not really the quality of the attractions, it's the fact that there's nothing to do there.
Yeah, and the theming itself isn't quite on MGM level. But, yeah, I completely forgot what I was just going
to
say.
Well, they're trying to fix it. I mean, they added that whole Toon Studios thing, but...
Yeah, and...
You know, how much one roller coaster and a spinning ride can...
Yeah, and they're adding Hollywood Boulevard where Tower of Terror is... Or Sunset. I think it's actually Hollywood, near where Tower of Terror is going to be... And yeah, so it's not a really good park, but I still think it's better.
They are trying to fix it.
I still think it's better than Animal Kingdom.
Oh, boo. Have you seen Finding Nemo the Musical?
Yes, and it was absolutely horrible.
Oh no!
The only good thing about it was Go with the Flow and Big Blue World.
Oh my
word! I'm gonna play the whole show on my podcast this week just to bother you.
And I'm not gonna download it.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm just joking as well. I think we
maybe I'll play one or two of the songs.
Yeah, I've got two of them downloaded from my
Go with the Flow and Big Blue World.
Good job!
Wow, that's just
yeah. Anyway, I think we've blabbled on just about enough for this show. Housekeeping time. Don't forget to check into the rest of the 5 days of Halloween on Wednesday, which is Halloween itself. We'll be talking about The Haunted Mansion. And,
again.
Wow.
Friday, we're going to be talking about some of the other Halloween attractions at the Disneyland Resort, which include Candy Corn Acres, Golden Screams, and Woody's Halloween Roundup.
You may want to miss that one. No, that sounds interesting. I'm actually interested about that Candy Corn Acres idea. Mm. Looks interesting.
So that's coming up to us on the next week. Now, we also have the Everything Disney podcast Halloween show. It came out yesterday, which was Sunday, and we'll play a little promo for you right now.
Luke.
Yes?
Today is Sunday.
Yes, I know.
You just said it came out yesterday, which was Sunday.
Yeah.
I think this show comes out.
This show comes out on Monday, though.
Oh, okay. I'm
but it's preempted on Wednesday, which plays on Thursday, which was recorded on Tuesday.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, you guys, here's the promo. And go out and download it by going to DisneyResortsKingdom.com and clicking on podcasts, then clicking on Everything Disney Podcast.
Was the dawn of Halloween, and all throughout the podcast, not a host was peaceful, not even Luke. The history, all gathered on the internet with care, when read about on that Sunday, would cause such a scare. The listeners, nestled all snug with their iPods, would have nightmares of Luke and the history of the Haunted Mansion.
Happy holidays, everyone!
Tom, why didn't you tell our listeners about your show?
All right, well, first I'm going to tell you about the website. It's wdwnewstoday.com. We're the only daily source for Walt Disney World news on the internet 7 days a week. And, of course, we have the WDW News Today podcast. We do a just about a weekly show, and we do some special episodes in between, like our very popular Epcot 25th special show. But we do news, rumors, pin trading news, and a whole lot more. It's usually co-hosted by Steve Swanson or John Frigliano of Mouse Times and myself. So definitely check that out at wdwnewstoday.com. We will have a special Halloween episode on Halloween. I think that's enough.
Yeah, so go out and check Tom's website. You do a really good job with the news page. I go there every few days to get caught up on the news. So, great job with the site and the shows. I nearly called you Steve, Tom.
Thank you very much. We put a lot of hard work, and it's great to see that somebody appreciates it.
Mm. And to check out some friends of the show, including Tom, then please go to DisneyResortsKingdom.com and click on Friends of the DRK. There you'll get links to every single one of our friends. Now, Diz, as you know, is mysteriously missing, and he won't be here to check emails. So go and send an email to me for anything you want. So that's Luke at DisneyResortsKingdom.com. And that's really about it for the show this week. Nick, as always, thank you for joining me.
Okay.
Okay. And Tom, thanks for joining me as well.
Okay.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Now, please gather all your belongings and take small children firmly by the hand. On behalf of the cast of the Everything Disney Resorts podcast, we hope that you enjoy all your future stays at the Walt Disney World Resort.
Ingers be home, diddy hoong, diddy sidoo. Yee, beer, horn, beer, spirit, and bork, bork, bork.